3, 2, 1. Listeners, welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Lee Brettschneider, and this is
Mark Davis,
my fellow quizmaster.
Yeah, we're just here quizzing it up.
We are quizzing it up early this week. We're recording early.
We are, because
it is.
There's a holiday.
Yes.
There's a holiday.
Hanukkah's right around the corner.
That's what we were looking
but
for.
But first, we have a little thing called Thanksgiving.
And a little thing called Black Friday, which is going to pulverize me into the ground.
That's like an anti-holiday.
It's yeah.
Like whatever a holiday is, I guess it's work. It's literally work.
Yeah. I'm here to tell you, Thanksgiving night, I will be at the mall at 3:30.
Oof.
P.M. While Oof. Most people are getting their spreads out on the table.
Yeah.
Turkey and stuffing and green bean casserole et al.
We need to make you a little helmet, like a, instead of a beer drinking, like a gravy helmet. But it's got maybe in one, it's got mashed potatoes.
Mashed
potatoes,
like liquefied mashed potatoes yeah. and gravy in the other one.
Yeah, or, oh, we I'll could take just it. Take, I'll put, I'll, we just got a ninja blender.
Oh,
just gonna drop some Thanksgiving food in there. We'll liquefy that bad boy.
So I don't know
send
if we ever
talked. You off right.
I don't know if we've ever talked about the show King of the Road on Viceland, which is like the best.
One we've of my talked favorite. About it personally.
Yes,
and
okay.
I've watched an episode with you.
It's but, fantastic. Yeah. It's kind of like Jackass, but better and like way more skateboarding. And in it, one of the guys basically knocks his bottom teeth into the back of his mouth. And
oof,
they yeah, and they have a thing, the grossest thing that you've eaten, and because he is on a liquid diet, they all go out and get like I think pizza and chocolate cake or something like that. They get like some food and they blend it and he drinks it. And I think he throws up everywhere.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so maybe not that unless I want to leave early, which would be fine with
watch,
me.
Watch that on Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah,
look
there
that,
you go.
Look that clip up. I will
Season
probably
three.
Be watching, well, we'll talk about that a little later, actually. Oh. I might have some trivia questions
Ooh.
Related to that. I was like, did that make it on? Ooh, I should not talk about this in the intro.
Yeah,
it's,
no.
It's
no,
part of my script.
That's a little tease.
Yeah, yeah.
But we can talk about your scoring experiment.
Yeah, yeah. So I mentioned it on the last episode, my rogue scoring experiment, where I was giving a point willy-nilly to just filling in the answer. And I know I got some personal feedback in person. You did you get a messenger or something? You said you had some feedback.
I did.
Yeah,
a certain. I won't say who it is.
Okay.
I'm just going to read.
All right.
What was said to me. That
sure.
pity point thing is bullshit. Mm-hmm. What the actual fuck?
Yeah.
Like, that's not giving all these little dumb fucker a trophy for participating. That's what's wrong with the world.
Whoa.
That is some straight up millennial entitlement crap. So he, this person.
So he's saying a Zennial would not do this. Is what he's saying.
Possibly.
A millennial.
Possibly, yeah. So he was very anti.
We have to see if Fletcher would. If Fletcher supports this or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It could have been Fletcher for all you know.
I have my suspicions of who
Do
this
you?
Is.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'll say I understand. And, you know, I ran it that one night. We talked about it on the podcast. I have not run the trivia program with that scoring adjustment since then. But I did have another idea because I it's like if there is a way to make this work, how would it be? And maybe this is a little bit closer to fair because the intention, you know, is to encourage taking an actual legitimate guess,
mm-hmm.
you know. So maybe saying, you know, and this is probably too complicated for any real trivia program, but just humor me on the theory here. If you make a legitimate guess, it's not a joke answer, a legitimate guess, then you maybe you get a point.
So Rwanda, for a fictional African country, you would give a point for that.
Well, that would be this. See, that's hard to tell the humor there.
Well, I mean, like,
is that pure ignorance?
I mean,
or?
I would say so. I mean, my guess is that this person really just did not know.
Yeah.
I am way more on board with that.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like what you were saying was. It's to promote someone guessing, which I'm fine with, because sometimes people guess, they feel stupid for guessing, and they might actually get it.
I hate hearing, ooh, I almost wrote that down. It's
right.
Like, you should have written that down.
Right, now, right, right. You know? So I agree with you. I'm way closer to that.
Yeah.
Just having something in there, I'm not, like, we literally, on Monday, we're recording on Tuesday,
yeah.
because of the aforementioned holiday.
Yeah.
So yesterday, we actually did write butts in for one of your questions, because we just had no clue.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, well, this isn't a legitimate guess, but in the case that we might get a free point for it, you know.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, too, I did hear Kristen came up at the game last night and she said, yeah, you know, I'm not like in support of that, but like as a regular thing, but it could be interesting to have little variations, you know, on the game format just to kind of keep things interesting. Like we do the little mini game, we do the What's Up Player every week, but having something else like that, you know, that's not a regular thing. And we actually had Taylor wrote in, our listener, our faithful listener and write-in author Taylor wrote in and sent us a copy of a local trivia score sheet that she has attended in her city. I think she just wanted us to see, like, because we talked about confidence-based scoring at one point, and this is definitely a total confidence-based system. It looks like there's about 3 questions per round. And then on each round, you can wager up either 2, 4, or 6 points on those questions. Or not wager, but you just pick which question is worth the most amount of points, medium, and least. And then what else was on there? There was some other aspects of the game.
That was, I mean, there was a half. So there was a halftime question or a halftime category.
And that was you can wager on that, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's another thing that's another idea that I had played with was, I know at a local trivia around here, they would do a, you know, you and I both do something similar, 20 or 21 point wager question at the end.
Right.
But they also did a second round wager of 10 points.
Oh, okay.
So there's kind of like a little baby wager that can kind of bump you up a little bit or knock you down.
Yeah.
And it seemed like that's kind of what they did here. There are 6 rounds, and there is it seems like there's a category, and how many points you want to wager, and then your new total, and then they do another one at the end.
Yeah.
If anybody has any like answer sheets or anything like that, we are always down to look.
Yeah.
I mean, ours look alike because I think I mentioned before that you had made the ones that I use before you had started.
Yeah. Our trivia nights are ever so slightly different, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd ask one more question per round than you do. Mm-hmm. And I did that on purpose, by the way.
And mine's a little more streamlined. Mine doesn't have like the What's a Player or Double Your Points or whatever.
Right.
Though I'd be not adverse to doing something like that where someone could wager some points. But the other thing that I don't think we've ever mentioned, but I don't usually tell people how much points questions are worth.
Right. And I always do.
Yeah. 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 And I mean, it's definitely helpful for you, especially now that you have the double up.
Yeah.
Because you're, you know, I kept coming up to you and going, what points were worth, what, you know, what question was how many points. But so I'll start. And like, if I ask a question that I think is pretty easy, I just know it's going to be worth 3 or 4 points. If I ask a question that's really, really hard,
yeah,
then I'm gonna, you know, put 7 or 8 or whatever.
Actually, the last time that I filled in for you, I feel like your players are a little thirsty for that, because I was reading the point values, and I look over and there's this young man with tears in his eyes, and he's like, Mark never reads the point values to us.
Straight crying.
It's like I taught him to read. Like, he'd never seen, like, the Ten Commandments before. And I was like, here they are, my son.
He was thirsty and didn't know what water was.
Exactly.
Well, I remember, so I had filled in for a local person, one of the ways that I started getting more and more into hosting. And at some places, he would give everybody their total before they wagered.
Right.
And people loved it.
I do that sometimes. I try to remember and I forget most
of
them. Yeah,
he would never do it for us, though, at the trivia we did.
What?
It was all dependent on what the people wanted. And I'd be like, if you do that here, why don't you do it there? He's like, no. I'm just going to. It's way more. And it is more streamlined and easier to do when you're just trying to, like, hoof through it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some of the trivia, it's kind of knowing your audience. Some groups wanted to be kind of coddled and held and loved, and others just wanted you kind of be fast and rough.
Right.
You
know? Yep. All right. Well, thanks for letting me bounce that idea off your head. Maybe we'll do that at one game, you know, and try it out again. But yeah, write in with your perspective. Send us your score sheets, please.
And how do you feel about these score sheets? So, like you were describing.
Oh, yeah. I actually want to ask you one thing I notice is these rounds are way shorter. 3 question rounds. What do you think about that? We both have 6 or 7 questions in our rounds.
Yeah. I'm kind of wondering how. I don't know. It seems kind of weird. I wonder if there's a reason that they're broken up so small.
Mm-hmm.
We had done a trivia, and actually maybe Joey or Tim could send in. There is a trivia that I do every time I go to Maine and visit with them at a bar up there. And they ask 6 rounds, I think, that have like 10 or 12 questions each.
Yeah.
And they don't even give you answer sheets. They give you a piece of paper and you're supposed to write down the numbers and the answers yourself.
Right.
It's very incredibly DIY.
Yeah. Old school shit.
But yeah, they come and they'll read you
pub trivia.
They'll read you 6 questions
mm-hmm.
and then walk off and go into another room and read them 6 questions. And then eventually they get back to you and ask you the last 6 questions. And they just like question, just like one after the other. And you have to like jot them down or like notes on them.
Right.
It's very like, it's like the Bear Grylls of trivia. It's very, very intense. But like you could break it up like this
mm-hmm.
where it's like 3, 3, 3. I'm just kind of curious. I'd love to pick someone's brain and find out why they laid it out like this.
I think ours are influenced in the format by the number of prizes that we have to give out, basically.
Yeah. You
know? So there's a limited number of prizes, which means we have a limited number of rounds. So we're going to put more questions per round. Maybe they have a totally different system where it's like they have one winner at the end is possible. So they have more freedom. They're not they don't have 6 or 7 prizes to give out.
Well, this may not even have anything to do with... How many prizes? They might not give a prize at the end of each round.
It might just be for
they
fun.
Might just do the half and at yeah. the end. Maybe Taylor can write in and let us know what she does. I think it's interesting because I always wonder, like, we have more and more trivia people listening to us, and I'd be very curious to hear them and see if we do something drastically different from what they do, knowing the more and more ways that people do stuff, because I think we kind of take it for granted. Me being at Juan's trivia and then you being at my trivia, we're kind of all... the same.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you go, you know,
it's
to
the
Maine.
Style of how we do it here in Southwest Florida. It's just the style, the way the trivia is done down here.
Style, yeah. Baby.
But maybe somebody like the guy who knows everything from Portland, Oregon. Like, right. Hey, if you're listening, man, yeah. Send us in. What are you doing over there?
Yeah, I'd
you
know? Be very, What's very curious. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right. So at this point, we're going to take a little break for the weekly wrap up.
Hmm.
Last Thursday, we had the Kids Who Don't Read Good against 5 teams. At number 3, they had 70 points at the end of the night. Then on Monday at 3 Pepper, Seth beat an astonishing 7 teams, winning with 57 points total. This Tuesday, we had We Heart Mike and Peanut the Dog at number 3, celebrating no-nonsense player Mike Fuller. They had 70 points. And then on Wednesday, the Iron Team winning at Bury Me Brewing with 43 points. Big congrats to them and all the teams that came out to play No Nonsense Trivia live this past week in Southwest Florida. If you missed it, upcoming No Nonsense Trivia challenges are happening on Monday, November 26th at 3 Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers, Florida. On Wednesday, November 28th, No Nonsense Trivia Challenge will be at Bury Me Brewing Company. And Thursday, November 29th, you can find us at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral, Florida. You can also see Mark every Wednesday evening at Nice Guys Pizza. Find more information about all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of the No Nonsense events are free to play. You can win prizes after every round. Join us.
Won't you?
Won't you? Won't you join won't us?
Won't you please?
I feel lately like I cannot shake Halloween. Like, it's still Halloween season in my
God,
mind.
God, I wish.
I'm even the trivia questions, I'm like, is this too spooky for post-Halloween, or can I still squeeze the spookiness in?
I think you can
trivia?
Absolutely squeeze in the spook.
All right.
I think I did
I take it off? Oh, you know what? I replaced the spooky. I did. I made the decision. I was like, it's too... It's not
it's
Halloween anymore. Yep, I got to save this for next year. Okay, so we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to do some questions in round number one. Mark, before we get started, we want to send a big thank you to, I think, just, you know, the few people that wrote in. At first, I came into this like nobody wrote in this week, but now I'm realizing we did have a couple people write in.
Yeah.
For this episode, I'm not going to slam anyone.
Few.
Yeah, we got a few write in, so we're appreciative. You know,
absolutely.
But we want more. We want more of your trivia questions for Rate My Questions. I guess miscorrections. I'm fine with having a few of those or less of those even, but you know, write us. Pay us some praise, you know, like we're human here, you know, we like it.
We're human, yeah. And we need to be loved.
Wow.
Just like everybody else does.
So that is Morrissey. Did you see the video of him getting quote unquote punched?
I did.
Yeah.
What do you make of that? Well, you know how I feel about Morrissey.
Punch him? is that how you feel about it? I'm not so severe.
Absolutely.
I don't think that this in particular even was a punch, to be honest with you. It looked like this guy was maybe going for a hug, an aggressive hug.
Yeah,
he accidentally hit Morrissey in the face.
Said something like that. He was like, yeah. Morrissey may have been trying to save face, pardon the pun. But he even said, he's like, no, he was trying to hug me.
Yeah, it did kind of look like that, but it's like he just ended up putting his fist right in Morrissey's face.
I wonder if he feels bad, because I don't.
Yeah. Anyway, back to our podcast. That was a good Morrissey impression, though. I gotta give
Thank
it to you.
Thank you. It's like a British Kermit the Frog.
Yeah. Accurate.
Thank you.
Or a Jordan Peterson that can sing.
Okay. Yeah.
Or a Ray Romano that is celibate. I don't know.
Give thanks.
Anyway,
Killer Ray Romano.
Thanks to everybody.
Yeah. We're going to have Ray Romano on the show. I love trivia. It's real good. I do the worst. I do the best worst Ray Romano.
Oh, man. Let's go ahead and get it. We're 17 minutes and we haven't asked a damn question yet. Let's do it.
What is this fucking thing even about?
We need to get on track here.
All right. Do you want me to ask you a question?
Please do.
I'm going into the deep dark depths because I don't have any questions because my trivia is tomorrow and I'm a lazy man. So let's go ahead and
this is just scattershot.
Yeah,
the big old repo that you got.
Let's just get crazy with it, huh? What band had albums including Ghost in the Machine, Regatta de Blanc, and Synchronicity?
Synchronicity is the giveaway on that one.
Is it?
Yeah, and it's so firmly embedded in the pop culture that even if I didn't know who it was, I might look it up or know because of NBC's The Office, where accountant Kevin is in a cover band of this band called Scrantonicity.
Oh, yeah.
He is in a cover band of the band The Police.
That's correct.
The Police, yes.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after that William Henry Harrison, every time you say, like, you feel sure of an answer and you go on, like, a little bit of a... I always wonder if you're going to be like, yeah, I remember, because on the Office, and blah, blah, and then you're going to be like, and that answer is The Cars. And I'm going to be like, oh, my God.
No, I'm sharp now. Every night I go to bed and I sharpen that trivia blade, and I think... Ian Fleming, William Henry Harrison, all the Nambia, all the wrong answers I've ever gotten.
Just reliving them. You just have like a Walkman that you put on with headphones on, listening to you give all these wrong answers and just being like, oh, God, what have I done?
30 lashes per wrong answer. All right. You threw a easier one at me. I'm going to return the favor here. I think you're going to get this one. What are the names of the three main robots that inhabit the satellite of love in the sci-fi comedy series Mystery Science Theater 3000?
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Well, the beginning of the question, you didn't see, my mouth was agape.
Yeah.
I was like, what have you done to me?
It's just the size of the pop filter. Me? I see it expanding beyond the rim.
Hey, it's Ray Romano here. I'm asking you a question about the robots.
There's Gypsy.
Can you please respond in the Ray Romano voice? Can we do dueling words?
All right.
What are you talking about?
I was a big fan of the show. There's Gypsy.
That's
See,
right.
I feel like the longer I go, the harder it is to do.
Stick with me here.
Tom Servo.
Mm-hmm.
And Crow.
That's right. Even in the melody of the theme, you just
I got
did
into
it.
Kermit the Frog there at the end.
There was Gypsy and Tom Servo and Crow.
Wow. Whoa. That was creepy accurate.
Thank you. A lot of people don't know this, but I do a lot of, I like to try and I'm not saying that I'm good at it because of course, I always am like really, really hard on myself. But it's funny because I used to do Elmo, an ex of mine, her son was potty training, and he had a book on how to potty train with Elmo. Mm-hmm. So I'd read it in Elmo's voice all the time, and he would die laughing.
Give me some of that.
Oh, I don't know if I can. I could try if I had something to read. hold on, let me get some tea.
Yep, he's got to lubricate the vocal cords here.
Elmo, it's hard.
Talk about pooping.
Oh man, this is okay. I was not expecting this at all.
Elmo likes to. Elmo likes to go poop. You can go poop with Elmo.
So, I mean, it's probably a little bit better if I actually had something to read, but I would read it to him. And it, I mean, it was at least close enough to where a 2 or 3 year old is like into it and like, oh, okay, I'm pooping with Elmo. Like, this is a thing.
Yeah, man, you're so talented. All right, give me a second question.
Oh, yeah. I was not prepared because I was doing Elmo. All right.
This is my strategy.
All right. The law passed in 1873 that called for the quote, suppression of trade in and circulation of obscene literature and articles of immoral use was called the What Act? Do you want that again?
Yeah.
The law passed in 1873 that called for the suppression of trade in and the circulation of obscene literature and articles of immoral use was called the What Act? The Blank Act. Basically outlawing the porn.
I think I know that. Oh, really? Wait, what was the year though?
1873.
Oh, okay. So that super, super vintage shit.
That vintage porn.
Yeah.
That vintage porno.
Yeah, I believe this is known as the Comstock Act.
Correct. All right. Very good.
Thank you.
That was from a while ago, but I remember that being a tough one.
Yeah. Ooh, my brain, the knife grows sharper.
Yeah.
It grows sharper. All right, let me throw one back at you now.
Please do.
An anemometer is a scientific instrument used to measure what? Replacing the Beaufort scale. An anemometer. Anemometer.
Anemometer.
Anemometer.
Ano.
More like ane. Anemometer.
Spell it.
A-N-E-M-O-M-E-T-E-R.
Anemometer.
Yeah, anemometer.
And
yes, I did practice that saying that before we recorded.
Well, it makes me think of anema or anemia, which is a blood thing.
It replaces the Beaufort scale.
Beaufort scale. Can you give me the question one more time? Sorry.
Yeah. Now I'm going to get it wrong.
I practiced it.
An anemometer.
In Namibia.
An anemometer. I can't do it anymore. Is a scientific instrument used to measure what?
It's an instrument used to measure what? Is a science? Because I was thinking maybe the pain scale. I can't remember what the pain scale was, but there's no scientific instrument for it. Mm-hmm. To measure what? Anemometer. Scientific. See, I don't know if this is, for some reason it makes me think it's a body thing, like something like in the body, but I guess it's a scientific instrument, could be used for fucking anything. So my initial thought was it was something to do with Beaufort scale. So there was something that was a scale, and then they finally fucking made something to like realize. I was originally thinking something inside the body, but now my mind's kind of telling me outside of that. I'm going to say humidity.
Interesting. You're going down the right track.
Yeah.
And it is related in a grander scheme to humidity. But it's not really used to measure those things.
Okay.
It is a tool that's used to measure wind speed. If you've ever seen like four cups on a
like
on
a weather vane.
Yeah. So what you do is you count the rotations over an interval of time, and that will measure the wind speed. And the Beaufort scale, actually, this question was covertly to see if Tim could get this, because I believe the Beaufort scale was used in sailing back in the day. Because as you might guess wind speed is something that if you're you know, managing a boat, you'd want to know.
Yeah, for sure.
So you don't end up in the wrong spot. But yeah, an anemometer is used to measure wind speed.
Huh. Okay. Well, I feel smarter for having known that now.
Good.
Here is your third and last question.
Good, Mark.
Yeah. I'm going to give you, because you asked me that, I'm going to give you a tough science one.
Oh, you motherfucker.
Which element
yeah.
appears ninth on the periodic table?
Mark, you know I don't know this.
Ninth? Yeah.
Can you give me anything else other than the position? I looked at a periodic table.
It's been in your mouth.
Okay. All right. So many things have been in my mouth.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. Ninth. So I was looking at a periodic table the other day, and I noticed that they were grouped in columns related to something. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that about the periodic table. That would be helpful to know. And then I opened a new tab. So should have stuck on that a little bit longer. I don't know, man. Nine? Let's see here. Nine?
I'm hoping I'm right about it being in your mouth.
I want to say that the lower ones, those are like the gases? The gases are they on the left or the right side?
You're talking to the wrong man about that.
Man, all right. I'm just gonna say it's some kind of gas. And it's nine, so it's not like. I'm just gonna go all idiotic on this, and okay. I'm just gonna start saying some shit that's probably not accurate.
Okay.
And feel free to use this for fodder, for miscorrection fodder. But I believe the lighter elements have lower numbers. So something like helium has got to be before nine. So I want like maybe a heavier middleweight gas is what I'm thinking right now. And
it's not a gas.
It's not a gas.
I wanted to just string you all that gas thought as long as I could, but I felt...
Well, thanks, because I didn't know where to go after yeah. that. I was just going to say...
I am going to give you about 30 seconds, though.
Number nine is...
Number nine.
Is it... is it copper?
It's fluorine or fluorine.
Oh, okay. So what can you tell me about fluorine?
Well... mm-hmm. Here's what, so much judgment. So upon further review, it is a gas, which I didn't know.
Wow.
It exists as a highly toxic pale yellow.
You talked me out of that over the copper?
You did not know that fluorine was a gas.
Yeah, I would have never guessed.
Yeah, okay. All right. So, I mean, come on.
Tell me about
it. It's also the most electronegative element.
Cool.
Which I don't know exactly what that means.
I think you need to put that with some positivity.
There you go.
And make a little, I don't know, the beginning of the universe or something.
Something
no,
like
you
that.
Probably have some kind of chemical compound. But interesting. All right. Well, I'm gonna throw probably my hardest question of the round Ooh. At you right now.
Okay. Yeah.
But you never know. I don't know. I feel like you might be able to reason this one out.
To make this happen.
Yeah.
Let me see.
Sports history. You are a big sports fan.
Ooh.
We'll see how far back ESPN goes, though, in their reporting. Before baseball took the lead, what sport was considered to be the national pastime, packing the original Madison Square Garden with spectators on April 10th, 1880, for a six-day-long event? Before baseball, what sport was considered to be America's national pastime?
That's a really good question. So you said reason it out. Well, tennis is way too British. Madison Square Garden.
I should say there's not really a buried hint in the way that the question's written. I did have one earlier, but I took it out. I thought maybe it would be too easy. So we can talk about that afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah. Would you like an athlete name?
Sure.
The man from Haiti, Frank Hart. He actually won this event on April 10th, 1880. Won $21,000. Think in 1880 money for winning this.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
The national pastime before baseball. So it's not a team sport. It's an individual sport. Can't be golf.
Frank Hart said, I'll break those white fellas' hearts. I will. You hear me?
Jesus.
Yeah.
Good. Fuck him.
He was bringing that energy.
So many white people were pieces of shit back then. I mean, so many of them are still, but... I kind of want to say something to do with running.
He had several fans in the audience, though. People throwing American flags and flowers and...
I wonder if it's like a specific... I'm kind of thinking Olympic event. Wow.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No. Let's hear the answer.
He what?
No, I'm going to give you a hint if I keep talking.
Oh, okay.
I better shut my mouth.
Jeez. I kind of want to say something Olympic-esque, like hurdles or long jump. Something individual. Sport. American. I'll say is running a good enough answer to be wrong? Like wholly wrong?
I would say it's a wrong answer, even though it's the right area, but you're going to be surprised hurdles? To know it's called pedestrianism. It's literally walking. You can walk. Running might be illegal in this sport.
Wow.
The athletes were called pedestrians. Frank Hart walked 565 miles around a track in 6 days. And the competitors were allowed to sleep on cots in tents at their leisure throughout the event. So if you're feeling a little tired, you want to go take a nap, you can stop being a pedestrian for a little bit and go do that. But whoever walked the longest was the winner. And it drew crowds of, I think, 10,000 people here to Madison Square Garden.
This is blowing my fucking mind.
Yeah, and he walked 94 miles per day. His prize was $21,567, including $3,600 he legally betted on himself. So hyper confident. So, and he was waving the American flag during his final lap. So it was like...
So it's like speed walking mostly, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I wonder how they... I mean, I guess it's going to be like
foot... They didn't have cameras, so they have a little drawing that they did of him winning.
So I wonder how they... where they get to the point where you're running. I guess maybe running is... I would, for whatever reason, I'd think that walking, you have both feet on your, one foot on the ground at any time, as opposed with running, you get that gait going and both feet are off the.
I'm sorry. They were allowed to run. It says here. Well,
Jesus, Lee. Sorry. So I win.
Participants were free to run, walk, crawl, and scratch their way around an oval track as many times
scratch
as possible.
Scratch their way? Jesus Christ.
You got to imagine that this probably, people probably fall over, collapse during this event.
I can't imagine.
Not everybody finishes. Yeah, so no baseball. This is what people congregated to watch happen. And to watch some men walk around in a circle.
So do I get points for running?
Yeah, man, I'll give it to you. I mean, sure.
I mean, that's a tough one, because,
Yeah. That would be an acceptable answer, but running...
It's funny that I wasn't more specific.
Yeah.
Because I think like 100-yard dash or something like that, it's like you can easily say no.
Right.
But running, it's like, well, yeah, I mean.
Yeah. It's a good answer.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I know a lot of subtropical countries, like in Africa and stuff like that, and Haiti and stuff like that, produce a lot of great runners.
Right.
And so I was like, well, maybe just like general running. So.
Good. Huh. Yeah. So the hint that I took out of the question was to watch Frank Hart strut his stuff. I felt like that was way too...
I don't think literal. So at all.
You think strut is stuff, people would interpret that as like not walking in particular, like just as like a, he's showing off.
No, I got nothing from that.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think that people will see it as literal, because when I think of like strutting their stuff, I think of like Muhammad Ali.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for, but I was think like, maybe just, it's too close to the answer. You know?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
So as a hint, you think that hint... Should be in there? Is that like a
I don't know
Lionel
that I would...
Richie style Commodores Vanderbilt hint?
I guess I wouldn't necessarily see it as a hint.
Yeah. Okay.
I would just think that you were just saying that he was boastful or cocky or whatever.
Right. Unless I'm like winking a lot when I'm asking.
Right.
Strut his stuff.
Yeah. that was a good question.
Cool. All right. So do you have a third? That was it, right?
That's it. I mean, I can keep punishing you if you want.
Let's hold a little bit back for round two here.
All right. Sounds good.
We're going to take a break.
And we got a miscorrection.
Do we?
We do.
We already did the theme.
Oh, well, the theme just popped up out of nowhere. It just popped up.
All right.
We'll have to do the theme again. We've got to sing it this time.
All right. And we're back, and I am ready. My vocal cords are ready to do a miscorrection theme. Here we go.
Bum, bum, ba-dum, bum, bum, ba-da-da-da-da, bum, bum, ba-dum, bum. Miscorrection.
All right, what do we got?
So we got one miscorrection, and it is a small one, and it comes from Jamie Carmichael.
Oh, okay.
And he just wanted to let you know, last week when you were singing the theme for Waiting to Exhale, that was Whitney Houston, not Toni Braxton.
So many errors. Yeah, you're right. And you know, Whitney Houston, I believe, was in the movie too, wasn't she?
I don't want to get miscorrected on. I mean, those movies were not for me.
No,
when those movies
came
out,
we have no business even.
We're talking mid '90s or so. I was like a 15 or 16 year old. I was just getting into punk rock, and just getting into like being in bands and stuff. The last thing I was doing was watching, you know, movies that were just like that and just not made for
middle-aged black women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just not made for,
I was watching
or middle-aged women, period, you know, black or otherwise. Like I just was not.
You didn't enjoy Something's Gotta Give like I did with Diane Keaton and Jack Nicholson.
No. I think I may have watched Boomerang. But I think I only watched that because Eddie Murphy was in it.
Oh, okay. So the reason that I am familiar with those movies, I watched a lot of MTV and they played the shit out of those videos. So I should have known it was Whitney Houston. But, you know, we were going off the cuff and, you know, we're not infallible. We're not claiming to be the Pope of Waiting to Exhale and how Stella got a groove back.
But I had to let you know.
Yeah. Thank you, Jamie, for writing in. And of course, if you hear any other inaccuracies, please let us know so that we can correct the record. All right. And also thanks to our Patreon supporters again.
Oh, yeah.
The Rumpelstiltskins, Mike. Our proverbial...
And Mike.
Mike.
The Mikes.
The Mikes. I'm sorry. I said Mike as if they were a singular entity.
The Mike.
The Mike.
The proverbial light keepers, yeah. Lucas.
And Max.
Mm-hmm. Both of who were present last night and who will be present on this show very soon.
Was Lucas there last night?
Oh, no, he wasn't.
Okay.
You're right. No.
It's like, oh, boy.
No. Yeah, no. We
missed you, buddy. Some of us missed you.
Yeah. Whoa. You're always there with me.
Yeah. And also our team captains, Fister and Clifton.
I don't know anymore.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and thanks, guys. Let's move on to round number two, Mark, shall we? All right. I'm going to ask you the first question this time. I want you to take a journey with me. Okay. Mm. Close your eyes.
I got my eyes closed.
Close your eyes. Pretend that you're a moth.
Mm. I'm in memes everywhere.
You see probably, and I'm talking about the hottest lamp you've ever seen.
Dude.
Bouncing around. It's bouncing around inside a logo for a company called Pixar. What is the name that you call out as you flutter towards the light? What is the name that you call it? The name of the lamp in the Pixar logo.
Oh, what kind of lamp is it?
What's the name of it?
There's an actual name for the lamp?
It's a character. It's got a name.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, as you can tell by my very surprised expression, I have no fucking clue. Lumineer. I have no idea.
Ooh, you're on the right track.
Am I?
Yeah, but that's not what it is.
Luminos?
Mm-mm.
Luminum.
Shorter.
Loom.
Different letters.
Completely different. Shorter. Okay, completely
I'm gonna,
different.
I'm going to give you the answer here.
Yeah, please do.
Luxo.
Okay.
Luxo. Okay. So from the Latin illumination. All
right.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't a bad guess.
Yeah, no, that's why I said you were, you did the best you could without knowing the answer.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Here's your first question of the second round.
Okay.
Who was the first U.S. president born in California? Love asking about presidents.
Yeah.
Much to your chagrin.
I think I might know this. So there are two presidents that have presidential libraries in California. And they are one Ronald Reagan and one Richard Nixon. Nixon comes first in the birth order. I believe. Now I'm doubting myself. If you just saw that wash over my eyes,
but Ronald Reagan was a pretty old president.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Richard Nixon. I think that's the answer.
You're correct.
All right.
Good answer. Yeah,
thanks, man.
Good going.
I'm feeling good today.
Yeah, you're looking good.
As long as you don't throw a periodic table question at me.
Well, I already did.
Yep.
But I'm done with that. Out of the way. I got some other ones though.
Okay. This question is of Japanese culture. Samurai follow an unwritten code of morals, meaning way of the warrior, which translates into what word in Japanese? The way of the warrior, that the samurai, the code that they follow. What is that code called?
This is going to piss me the fuck off.
Because you knew it at one point, probably. Dark place. He's entered the dark place. The eyes are closed. He's digging deep into the recesses of his brain. Hello, answer? Where are you, answer? It's me, Mark. Can you hear me?
Oh, boy. Samurai.
The samurai's code.
Code of ethics. Morals. Samurai following his...
The way of the warrior.
The way of the warrior. This is really frustrating because I know it and I know it's in here. Eric Brandt.
This is where a teammate would help.
Oh my God. He's he would know this so fast.
Of course.
I don't want to give up quite yet.
Eric's the only person I've ever met. That's, when I've hey, what do you, I mean, we met as kids, basically. What do you want to be when you grow up? He was like, I want to be a ninja. And I was like, yeah, no, seriously. And he's like, no, seriously. That's what I want to do.
Loves ninja.
Yep. He would ream us if we said ninjas.
I was just thinking that. That's why I said he loves ninja. Cause yep. I was like, he knows.
And he would know the answer. He would know the answer to this.
Oh yeah. I keep thinking of all these words like kabuki and shit, but.
Yeah, you know that's not right.
No. I don't know.
I feel like if I give you a hint, it could steer you in the wrong direction.
Give me a hint.
It starts with BU. I know where your mind's going.
Yeah. A Bushido?
Yes, Bushido.
See?
Yep.
I knew. It's not Bukkake.
Right. I
That's
know.
Something else.
Yep, that is indeed.
That's something but I else
knew,
entirely.
I knew your brain would go there first.
Okay, see, so I did know it. I just needed that little push.
Yep, exactly.
All right, cool. Yep.
All right. So do you have a third question for me?
I have a second question for you, motherfucker.
Oh, my bad.
Question number two of the second round. During which war was Joan of Arc burned at the stake? We've all heard of Joan of Arc.
Yeah.
She was young. During which war?
It was it the... was it the...
Now you're going into your dark place. Yeah. squinting your eyes hard.
Yeah, I'm trying to. She was French, correct? I want to say this is a French war, but the French war for independence, it seems too late. I feel like she was earlier. Man, so this is, yeah, you turn the tables on me. The tides have turned once again. The tides have turned. Because this is one that I knew at one point.
Sweet it is to be loved by you.
You're not going to give me the first two letters, are you?
T-H.
T-H? Is that the? Is that the hint you're giving me? It starts with the?
I don't know. I just said T-H.
So, okay, so it could be the... No, I don't know. I don't know, man. This is just a huge personal failure. This is 30 more lashes you've given me. You understand? Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know, man. The Persian War. Is it the Persian War?
The correct answer is... The Hundred Years' War.
The Hundred Years' War.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was way off.
The Hundred Years' War.
Yeah. I'm going to need to read about that.
Read a little bit.
That engages me more than the periodic table. I need something about the periodic table that sounds like the Hundred Years' War to, you know, attract my attention. If anybody also, yeah, I mean, listeners, if you have any, like, knowledge sites that you like, that you find compelling.
Please.
Like,
not if you do.
Yeah.
Please find them and send them to us.
Help us learn. Yeah. Because, you know, we want to grow up and to be nice, respectable Alex Trebek types, you know.
Do you think Alex Trebek is as smart?
No. Okay. I watched some early Jeopardy the other day just to see what it was like, what the questions were like and stuff. And he comes out and it's, you know, it's the 70s and he just seems like a hot shot. You know, he's like younger and he's like, yeah, it's my
career. That mustache.
He was like Ryan Seacrest back in the day. So imagine Ryan Seacrest at Alex Trebek's age. And that's basically, you know, what you're looking at, I think. But he clearly, his intelligence now lies in the realm of being a host, because most people that go on Jeopardy, it's probably their first time there.
Right.
Most of the time. That's his house. You're in his house.
Yeah.
And he will he will mess with you and let you know.
Yeah.
Let you know. Okay.
It's true.
I have a third question for you. According to superstition, what item of clothing is unlucky to leave on a bed?
Never heard this. Item of clothing.
You know of clothing?
Yeah. I do.
Is that what you said? I thought you said, I know of clothing.
No, I said an item of clothing.
Now, I do know of clothing. I've heard of it.
Do you consider, like, accessories items of clothing?
Yeah.
Okay.
So anything worn on the body?
Well, shit.
Anything that you might adorn your glorious body with? Mark Davis.
I want to say hat or shoes or jacket. Lay it on your bed. Bed juju.
Bed juju.
Bed juju. I got it bed. I got it bad. I got it bed. I got juju. I'm going to say... Okay, everybody's always got a problem with shoes on the bed, but I guess it's just because shoes are gross. Hat, I don't think anybody's got a problem with, but I feel like that's like one of those weird fucking things. So I'm going to say hat.
That's absolutely correct.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yep. And
that's incredible.
Yeah, it's good, but you're right. It's a hat. It's unlucky to leave a hat. And it's different reasons with different cultures. So one of the major things that started this off was believed to be the static electricity from the hair would cling to the hat. People would say, bad spirits.
Mm.
You transfer those spirits to where you sleep, you're not going to have a good life, you know? But the scientific background behind this myth and what it actually is probably closer to related to the transference of head lice to your bed, becoming bed mites. So you don't want, you know, because everybody was fucking filthy back in the day.
Disgusting.
Yeah. So, yeah. Unlucky to leave your hat on a bed.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be damned. That's pretty fascinating.
Good guess.
Thanks. Here is your last question.
Okay.
Of the third round. In 1917, Finland declared its independence from what country? You're nodding.
I know this.
Do you?
I was just reading up on Finland because Trump's raking the forest floor
comments.
Oh,
my Christ.
So I know exactly what country this is.
I thought this was going to be a tough one for you.
It is Russia.
That's correct.
Yep. I don't know if I should have answered so early.
No,
but,
it's fine.
You know,
fuck the listeners.
I gave as much information as I had about,
yeah.
about that. But
no,
yeah,
that's... Wow. See, this is why current events is good.
Yep. And there was somebody last night. It was the question that I asked about what the traditional German style of dress is for Hungarian and German peasants. It's now mostly worn by Oktoberfest attendees. And Seth actually just happened to read about this a week ago and knew the answer was. And you guys got this right, too. You guys got this
Dirndl.
Right, too. Yeah. Who came up with that?
Dirndl. Jamie.
He knew?
Yep.
He just fashionista?
He just knows.
Fashionista?
He knows a lot of like stuff with clothing and stuff, maybe because in large part because of his history and the arts.
Right. Theatrical background.
Yeah. I did not know it at all.
Yeah.
But he got it pretty quick in a way. And yeah.
Right on.
Thank God, because we had no freaking clue.
Yeah. All right. So that was my third question.
Did I ask three questions?
I believe I started, so I think you got one more for me, right?
Jeez-em. No, I just asked you about Russia.
Okay, so that was three for you?
I think so.
All right, well, we're going to end this around here. Hopefully you got the right
number
of questions.
Did you ask three questions?
I did.
Oh, okay.
We had the Bushido, the Luxo, and the hat.
And I had the president, the Joan of Arc, and the Russia.
We're just zipping right through it.
Look at this.
It felt so short. Okay, so we're going to take one final break. And then it's final question time.
Ta-da.
Mark, before we get to our final questions, why don't we do a Rate My Question listener submission?
Sounds good. Are you ready? Rate my question.
All right. This question comes to us from our friend Gilberto. Gil. It is as follows. I hope I didn't ask you this off air. I might have. If so, we'll just we'll edit this out.
Okay.
Which rock star? Can you see the pictures on the computer monitor right now?
No.
Okay. Don't look at them. Don't look at them.
Okay.
Which rock star of Jewish descent is related to the beloved weatherman Al Roker?
Okay, so I'm going to tell you why this is funny.
Yeah.
Because I was just talking with a good friend about Al Roker.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I want to say the context in which we were talking about Al Roker.
Okay. I've heard stories about Al Roker.
Have
with
you?
My friends that, yeah.
We got to talk about this off mic.
No, I'll tell this one on
please.
Mic. I'll tell mine on mic. He was at one of our Florida theme parks, and he was changing outside for some reason, and his wiener was out.
Okay.
And one of our mutual friends saw Al Roker's penis.
And how was it?
You know, I actually didn't ask for further elaboration.
Are you fucking kidding? Hold on. Let me just get this fucking straight. Someone saw Al Roker's hog and you didn't ask anything about it.
No, to me, that's hilarious enough.
It's hilarious, but then you got
to
know beyond hilarity.
I guess I wasn't like really thinking like I need to know what it looks like. I just thought the situation.
Why not?
I don't know. I'm just not curious, I guess.
Jeez, I'm crow.
It just sounded hilarious. Like I accepted the story for what it was. It's just like, you know, Al Roker, his dick was out and he had no idea. And then he discovered it and folded it back in. And that was it.
Folded it. I don't know.
See, that's the beauty of the imagination.
No, I want to know.
In my mind, it's 18 inches long and he folds it up.
Oh, man. What a fucking...
He's got no baculum, you see. That's the penis bone in some bats and rodents.
Okay, perfect.
This is what it's like to be a trivia master. No, there's no ambiguity. No.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway.
So, we're talking about Al Roker.
I'm not editing that out either. Okay, that story
good.
Stated.
Yeah, that's good. And we were trying to think of the name of the weatherman before him. Do you remember who the weatherman was before him on the Today Show?
Oh... yes, I do. Willard Scott is his name.
I could not fucking remember his name. I could picture him and giving everybody...
My brain was just like... Yeah. The Rolodex.
I was like, William? And she was like, Wilbur? And I was like, not Wilbur. And I could not fucking think of it. And then when she told me the last name was Scott, it was just killing me.
Yeah.
You know, it was just killing me.
He had the Smucker's Jam segment after the weather where... Do they still do that? If you're, like, over 100 years old, they'll put your picture on a... They'll superimpose your picture on a label of Smucker's Jam. Be like, Clarice is 106 years old today from Scottsdale, Arizona. Happy birthday, Clarice. And she's like, I like jam.
Did you know he was also the original Ronald McDonald?
Oh, I did not know that. There That's you go. Great trivia.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Next time I see a bunch of boomers in the audience, I'm going to throw that one in there.
My friend alerted me to that, but I did know that once upon a time. But yeah.
Let's
so
get back to our question,
okay. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus Christ. We got way off the mark there. What Jewish
rock star is related to Al Roker?
Is married to?
No, not married to. Related to.
Related to.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're related. I mean, I would guess they're black. Unless it's through marriage.
It's a blood relation.
It's a blood relation.
Mm-hmm.
The only, like, black Jewish person I know... I mean, there's not... For musicians, the first person that comes to mind is Lenny Kravitz. I guess I'm going to go with Lenny Kravitz.
That's right.
Is it?
Lenny Kravitz's mother is named Roxy Roker, I believe.
Roxy Roker. That's a great fucking name.
Yeah. She played Helen Willis on The Jeffersons.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Bonus trivia, Gil writes, the Willis family were the first interracial couple portrayed on primetime TV. So I like that question. Little Lenny Kravitz shout out.
That's awesome.
It's got enough. I mean, because you're right. There's not a lot of Jewish black rockers, you know? So if you can make that connection in your own mind.
Yeah. You know, if you can dock it.
Yeah.
You're doing the dick to dick.
And I did not. Yeah. I had no idea that Lenny Kravitz's mother was on the Jeffersons. That was.
Yeah. Neither did I don't think. And Gil's an awesome guy. It's great to get some listener feedback from him and some trivia. I love when people send in trivia, even if you get it and know the answer and I'm the one, battling it out. I can never get enough. We have, TJ who sends me trivia, and sometimes stumps the hell out of me and frustrates me and sometimes just happens to be something in my wheelhouse. But,
send them on in, folks.
Yeah,
send in your questions. Okay. Let's go ahead and get into our final round now.
All right. Do you want me to get you first? All right. What in the Bible? What is the first plague of Egypt? In the Bible, what is the first plague of Egypt?
Okay. So this is some Old Testament shit, which should be my wheelhouse. You know, I was bar mitzvahed, so I should have studied all of this. And I believe, if I remember correctly, the first plague is a plague of locusts.
Water into blood.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
The water turns into blood.
Damn. That's brutal.
Absolutely.
I'd send the locusts first. Well, I guess that's taking away the food supply, really. So it's a little bit more harsh.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But you don't want to be drinking blood all the time.
You don't want to be drinking.
That can't be good for
if
you.
We can be frank. You don't want to drink blood at all.
Rather go I mean, hungry.
Or not much, you know? Yeah. Look, this, I'll be over here. I wonder if there are places like the water in like fruit and vegetables too, or if it's just like water, like, you know, in the hoses and in the oceans.
It's so interesting that so much of the, there's so much transference of water into, or transmutation of water into other things, you know, just kind of emphasizing the necessity of water at that time, you know, and scarcity and reliance on it. Yeah. Anyway. What's up?
Hi. I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm just preparing myself.
For
your question.
I think you're going to get this.
Do you?
Because I wrote this question kind of for you, if I can be honest. Ooh, yeah.
Okay.
The specialty Weird Al question. I believe you're thinking about going to see.
So I got tickets. Mm-hmm. To see them actually in Melbourne, Florida,
yeah.
Where Gil lives.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to hang out with him and some people over there when I go. And I also got tickets to see Wolf Peck in Colorado. So I'm forcing myself to travel a little next year. But Weird Al's Strings Attached tour, where he's going to be playing with a fucking orchestra, which means he's almost guaranteed to play Jurassic Park, which I love. And some other stuff. So I'm
Jurassic
very excited.
Park?
Jurassic Park is frightening in the dark.
Isn't it all MacArthur the Park?
It's a parody of MacArthur's Park.
Oh,
we're talking about Weird Al.
I got those flipped in my mind.
All the dinosaurs are running wild. Oh,
you're a bigger fan
all
than
the
I
lyrics.
Am. That's why I think you're going to get this. Let this question wet your palate.
Okay, now, if it has something to do with newer Weird Al, I might not be as sharp.
This is a classic Weird Al question.
Mm-hmm. Give it to me.
Which musical artist was Weird Al instructed by lawyers to not look at during the American Music Awards, to which the parody artist responded by sending the same instructions back?
So
Weird Al and this artist were, you know, he was not a fan of Weird Al. I'll give you a he, I guess. This artist was
yeah,
not a
I know.
Fan of Weird Al.
I'm between two people.
Before the American Music Awards, Weird Al received a letter from this artist's lawyers and said, please do not initiate any eye contact with the artist during the ceremony.
Let me ask you this. Is this someone that he parodied?
I don't know. I mean, should I?
Okay, that's all I need to.
I don't know if I should give you the answer to that. I mean,
okay.
That limits the field quite a bit.
I'm between two people.
Yeah.
Two very eccentric musicians.
Yeah.
I think I know. I think I'm pretty sure it's Prince.
What's the list of people that you know that Weird Al has beefed with or had some kind of beef with?
Oh,
since
it's
you're
like
a bit
that.
Of a fan.
Well, I mean, there's one main one, which is Coolio.
Right. What do you know about them?
Well, I know that Coolio apparently gave him the okay to do Gangster's Paradise. And then after Amish Paradise came out, he had this giant thing where he was like, I never gave him the okay. But if you know enough about Weird Al, you know that Weird Al wouldn't have made that up. First of all, he doesn't need to ask for anyone's permission. He does it out of the kindness of his own heart.
He's
not done like he wanted to do Chicken Pot Pie instead of Live and Let Die. But Paul McCartney, who is a staunch vegetarian, did not want him to do it, so he didn't do it. So he has, like, backed out a number of times on doing what could have been very successful versions of songs. So there's no reason that he would have lied about it, unless it was a miscommunication.
That's what it sounded like to me when I was reading up on this. Like, Coolio, his management gave the okay, the label gave the okay, but apparently Coolio, I don't know, claims that he never knew that it was going to happen. And when he heard Amish Paradise, a parody of his Gangster's Paradise, he said that it made a mockery of it, and he was a serious artist, and the song was very serious, and it just, it was corny, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and I can see why he would have been upset about it, but I mean, you know, them's the breaks, and it could also be that his management thought, well, this will be like a resurgence in, you know, everybody's going to make a little money off of Weird Al doing Amish Paradise, because the thing that was frustrating to Weird Al, I'm going to talk about him like I know him, but from reading interviews and stuff, is his stuff, by the time he was able to stop touring, go in, recreate these songs, write lyrics, blah, 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 the songs were
2 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or older. And especially in today's society, that he said he's not going to put out any more albums because it's, it dates stuff too much. But to the benefit of a lot of those bands and groups and songs, people would be like, oh shit, yeah, fucking Amish Paradise is hilarious. It makes me want to listen to Gangster's Paradise. And you kind of get this like re-push of people listening to your stuff.
A second tale.
So the answer is Coolio?
No. I was just asking. We're getting off on a sidetrack here.
Okay.
Yeah. No, Coolio and Weird Al made up later at the some kind of tech conference in like 2006.
Weird.
Yeah. They made That's amends awesome. With each other. Well, Coolio made amends. He said, you know, when I got to thinking about it, this man, like, you know, Michael Jackson was cool with Weird Al doing a song. So who am I?
Right.
You know, so Coolio had a lightning bolt of humility, basically. And was like, why am I holding a grudge against Weird Al?
Well, in Nirvana, who, for better or worse, changed the face of music, you know, even they said, we knew we made it when he did Smells Like Nirvana. That was like our generation. You're in my generation or a little bit older than us, gauged some of their popularity. Mm-hmm. By Weird Al covering one of your songs. Yeah. That's how you knew you got there.
Right.
So, yeah, going back to the original, I mean, because I could talk about Weird Al all fucking day. You know how I get.
Right.
I just want to say there was something about Prince where he's just really, really eccentric. And actually, I was just listening to Broken Record, which you talked about last podcast. I know, and I won't go into it, but they just released an episode with Nile Rodgers, who did, you know, Get Lucky and like loads of other stuff. And he did stuff with Prince and just great Prince stories. Like, every Prince story is amazing, whether it's him doing While My Guitar Gently Weeps with Tom Petty and all that stuff.
That is an incredible performance.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, I mean,
at the
chills.
Music Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, it was incredible. Or him coming in on one of his bodyguards' backs to play on stage with Michael Jackson. So I'm going to say Prince.
This is another one of those Prince stories, yes.
Yes!
Prince had his lawyer send Weird Al a memo that said, do not look at Prince.
And the best part is Weird Al's like, yeah, tell Prince not to look at me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so Weird Al. It's so beautifully Weird Al. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah.
Yep. All right, that concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast.
The No-No.
My name is Lee Brushnida. You can catch me hosting No Nonsense Trivia live on Mondays at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers, 7:30 p.m. Then again on Wednesdays at Bury Me Brewing, also in Fort Myers. That one's starting at 7. And each and every Thursday evening at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That show's starting at 7:30. Mark, please tell our listeners where you can be found on Wednesdays.
Wednesday night, the night before Thanksgiving. Tomorrow. So last week for you.
Yeah.
But every other Wednesday, pretty much, you can find me at Nice Guys Pints and Pies in Cape Coral from 9 o'clock until 10:30. Prizes, money, t-shirts, you know, maybe something that says Jägermeister on it every once in a while, et cetera, et cetera. Lots of fun. Good times.
All right. That wraps it up. Listeners, thanks for listening. And you can, as usual, join us each and every Monday morning for a new episode. Subscribe to us on your favorite platform. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Stitcher. We're on Spotify. We're on Castro.
Yes.
We've got Pocket Casts, Overcast. Plain old RSS feed, if that's what you're into.
Just get crazy. We're on a BBS. We're on Unix. We don't have a subreddit, but
IRC.
Yeah, IRC.
HTTP.
Internet Relay Chat.
Yeah,
all that good stuff.
Also on Patreon, as we mentioned earlier.
Yes,
you got
please.
Some extra cash.
Give us your hard-earned money.
Tis the season of giving.
Oh my God! If you give us money, if you give us $500, I'll take a picture of myself naked with something over my dick.
Me too.
There you go.
All right, we're in.
All right. Oh.
Oh.
You got butt plugs.
Yes. Well, I wanted to... Yeah. I was hoping we could open them on the air, but we were just reminded... Yeah, the other day I opened up my front door and there was a package from Amazon. And in an earlier episode, once upon a time ago, Mark and I casually said, yeah, send us some butt plugs.
Well, no. You said, send us some butt plugs and I'll try them out. And I said, I will not try out a butt plug, but you said you would.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try them out on you. No, no, no. I thought I was going to try them out on you. That's what I was under the impression.
Well, we can maybe drum up a team.
Yeah, give us money and we'll talk about it. We just need to know the dollar amount.
Everybody's got a price.
To know how far we're willing to go.
How much are you willing to pay to watch Lee stick a butt plug in my asshole?
Yeah, at least $100.
I feel like I should be setting the price point since I'm the one that's getting the butt plug.
Yeah, anyways, the point is, send us the money. Send us more sex toys.
Send us unmarked bills.
Yeah, it is a true joy that we get to interact with our listeners in that capacity. Please follow us also on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia and on Twitter at No Non Triv. And finally, don't forget to leave us a review. If you can't scrape together any money to send us sex toys, leave us a review, please.
I think I'm going to start referring to this podcast as the No-No.
The No, I like it.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, the No-No. Because
then you kind of said something like that. Oh, what are you listening to? Oh, this is the No-No.
Yeah.
Short for No Nonsense Trivia Podcast.
Right.
The No-No, K-N-O-W-N-O.
Oh, I thought we were going to do No-No, like double knowledge.
Oh, well, that works no, too. No. But No Nonsense, No-No.
It's like, do you know the No?
Ooh, we're both doing this snake thing with each other.
Yeah,
oh, you got good neck moves.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we'll see how my hips do with those plugs.
Jesus Christ.
All right, that wraps it up. Until next time, No Nonsense listeners.
Keep butt plugging.